So I've been going to this church for a long time now. Pretty much my whole life I've been at the church. And a lot of you guys here have either grown up alongside me at church or have grown up watching over me in this church, or you guys have been around at church long enough to know me pretty well. So I think most of the people here would say that they know me pretty well. But there's just one thing that I've learned about myself that I wasn't really ready to accept, but I've definitely accepted it now after writing the sermon. And the thing that I've discovered about myself and confirmed is I am terrible at procrastination. I love avoiding things that I have to do. It's my favourite thing to do. So that's something I learned preparing for this sermon today. Let me walk you through the process to get me here today, being up here and preaching in front of you. So initially, it was about 2 months ago, Reverend Stephen and John both snuck up behind me and gave me a tap on the shoulder and said, "Brendan, you know, I think we'd like you to write a sermon." I said, "Don't do this to me." And they said, "We're doing it." So 2 months ago, they said, "All right, we're going to give you this date. You're going to be, what date's October? And you're going to be giving a sermon on this day. And this is your passage, Jonah 1. And although I was a bit reluctant at first to take on the challenge, I thought, you know what, two months is enough time. Like, 2 months is more than enough time to write a sermon, surely. I mean, Reverend Stephen, he does them like every week, so I've got like 8 times more prep time, so it should be fine. It can't be that bad to write a sermon, right? It can't be that bad. So 2 months, I thought, that's more than enough time, but unfortunately for me, I held strong to that idea, and I believed in it so much that for the next 4 weeks, I didn't even write anything. Didn't open up my Bible and read the passage. I didn't write anything. In fact, I totally forgot that I was even doing it in the first place. Until 4 weeks later, I'm a month out, and I get reminded from John and from Stephen. So we're 1 month down, 1 month ago. I haven't done anything at this stage. And then John and I had a meeting, and Nelson was there as well. We went to have some dinner. And we were going to meet 1 month out, and we're going to talk about how we're going to attack this sermon and this series. We said, after the meeting, we said, all right, we'll meet again in 2 weeks' time. So 2 weeks out, we'll meet again, and we should have, you know, you should have your draft done, and you should be ready, and you should have written most things, and we'll just make some little changes. And I thought, that's a great idea. It's a great idea. So, classic me again, back in action. 2 weeks out, we're supposed to meet on the Saturday, and I hadn't done anything. It's Friday night, and I'm freaking out, and I think, oh, I'm meeting with John and Nelson tomorrow, and I'm supposed to be discussing with them this sermon that I've written, and I've got nothing. I've still got nothing. So, that was a bit of a stressful Friday night for me, but it doesn't matter. We got there in the end. I managed to scrape up something that kind of resembled an okay sermon. It was really bad, but I managed to scrape up something, and the meeting went well. Me and John and Nelson met, and we had a good talk about what we wanted to do and what we wanted to say and what the Bible was trying to tell us about the passage. And I felt pretty good about myself. And I thought, 2 weeks down, 2 weeks to go, I'm in a pretty okay spot. The long weekend is coming up. Last week, the long weekend was coming up, so I'll have plenty of time to do that. And I should have enough time for myself to write this sermon. I went up to Taree to visit Lauren last weekend, and beforehand we were speaking to each other and we said, we're definitely going to do some work this weekend. It's a long weekend. I know we're up there to relax, but we're definitely going to do some work. I'm going to spend some time, a couple hours every day to write the sermon, or an hour or two every day to write the sermon, and you're going to do some study. But it didn't happen. It did not happen. We went up there and we had a good time, and then on Monday night we were very sorry that we didn't do any work. But that's not the end of it. We're 1 week out, and that's still not the end of my procrastination. On Monday night, I made a very potentially stupid decision to buy FIFA 18 on computer. And let me tell you, it was a very bad time. 1 week before your sermon is due, it's a bad time to buy a new video game. But silly me, I did it anyway. So even in the past week, reading up to today, there have been many tempting times, some which I failed and some which I was able to write the sermon. But leading up to this 2 months writing the sermon, no matter how many times I tried to avoid writing it, no matter how many times I would tell myself, oh, I'll definitely start tomorrow, or just one more game and then I'll start after that, no matter how many times I tried to avoid it, I eventually had to knuckle down, I had to think hard, and I had to prepare for today. No matter how much I tried to avoid my responsibilities or procrastinate to prepare the sermon, it was inevitable that eventually today would come and I would have to spend the time to either prepare and give an okay sermon, or I'd have to just be embarrassed in front of you guys and give a really crappy sermon. No matter how many times I tried to run, it was going to happen eventually. And we see a similar thing today in our passage. We're looking at Jonah. I think most of us would be familiar with the story of Jonah. It's a pretty comical concept to happen, you know, a guy like going in a boat and the storm comes and a big whale swallows him up and he survives in the whale somehow. It's a comical story, and most of us would have at least some vague remembrance of what happened. But studying this chapter, and definitely the whole book of Jonah over the past couple of months, I realised that this book of Jonah goes a lot deeper, pun intended, than most people realise. And hopefully after today, and definitely after we finish our series, hopefully you guys will be able to appreciate that as well. I think the story starts off pretty innocently, or well enough, right? We're reading in verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Verse 2, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. Now, I'm sure all of us have been in either this situation, maybe you've been in something similar to this situation before. You know, you've had a tough week at work or at school. It's Monday, and you're really counting down the days till Friday, until the weekend comes along. You know, Wednesday comes, and the week is just going super, super slowly, and just can't wait for the weekend, because you can relax, and you can do what you want. You can maybe chill out, play some video games, hang out with some friends, or maybe go to the movies, or go to the beach, or something like that. And finally, you get through your tough week, and Saturday comes along, and you're just like, great. This is now my time. I can relax. And then, on Saturday morning, some ridiculous time to be awake, like, you know, like 11:30 or something, your parents come in, they burst in through the door, and they'll tell you a million things that need to be done on the day. They'll say, Brendan, you need to vacuum the floors, you need to mop the floors, you need to wash Chester and Lucky, you need to clean up your room. And then you think, oh no, this day that I had planned for myself, that I could relax, all of a sudden it's just gone down the drain. My parents are coming in, they're asking me to do all these things. Now my parents are there at the back. They don't know anything about this sermon or what's in it. But most of you guys know my parents, Steve and Amy. They're pretty good parents, you know. Like Steve and Amy seem like pretty good people. You know, they probably wouldn't give you a bum steer. They wouldn't go out of their way to make your life miserable. And all these things that they're asking you to do, things like cleaning your room and cleaning the house, they're all good things to do. They're good things. It's good to live in a clean house, in a tidy house. But if you're anything like me, even though they're really good things to do, and you know that your parents wouldn't give you bad advice or tell you to do something bad, you'd still think of a million more things you'd like to do than to clean your room or to vacuum the floor or to wash the dogs. So we're always trying to get out of doing chores, or if you're anything like me at least. Maybe some of you guys are a bit better than me. But Jonah, he's in the same situation here. Except it's not Steve, my dad, or not my mum, telling me what to do, but this time it's God, the perfect creator of the universe. So if my parents aren't too bad of people and they're telling me to do good things, it's even more so that we see God, the perfect creator of the universe, calling Jonah to do a good thing. In verse 2, he says, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. And that's a really good thing to do. The Bible's very clear on that. Moving on to verse 3, though, we see Jonah's response to God's call to him. Verse 3, but Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed to Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Now, in my situation, it's pretty easy to see, or to me, in my eyes at least, it's pretty easy to see why I'd want to disobey my parents. I mean, no one really enjoys vacuuming and mopping, right? But in the beginning of our passage here, we're not really told as to why Jonah decides to run away from the Lord. And the Bible doesn't mention anything about why Jonah decides to run away from the Lord. You'd think, you know, going up to a city and telling people about God, it's a great thing to do. But Jonah chooses to run away, and we're not too sure as to why. Looking back at the history, Nineveh, it's a really great city. It's a really big city, one of the biggest cities at the time. But we're also told that it was a very sinful city. It was a city known for its brutality and its savagery. So maybe Jonah was scared. Maybe he was lazy like me. Maybe he just couldn't be bothered to go through the trouble of packing up and going to a city far away. Or maybe he just wanted to do his own thing Maybe he just wanted to do whatever suited him better. Either way, running away from God is a silly thing to do. And probably the only thing sillier than running away is trying to think that you can run away far enough that God's not going to get you. And we're going to see that in the rest of our passage today. Starting in verse 4, and we see the first of a couple of instances. It's kind of like a cycle where we see the first part where Jonah tries to run further and further away from God, and God, on the other hand, is continually calling Jonah and pulling him back to what he wants him to do. And we see that a couple of times, and this is the first time we see it in this passage so far. We're told in verse 4 that the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship had threatened to break up. We're also introduced in verse 5 to a second group of people, the sailors, who find themselves really in this sticky situation, and through no fault of their own, really. They're just doing their job, they're sailors. So verse 5, all the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to their own God, and they threw cargo into the sea to try and lighten the ship. Coming up to verses 6 to 8, we kind of see Jonah trying to run further away. In the first instance, we see God calling Jonah, "We need you to come to Nineveh. I need you to come to Nineveh." And Jonah runs away for the first time. And God sends a storm to try and call him back. Call him back. But he tries to run further away. He does something that I found really funny and real in this passage. In the midst of this massive storm, this massive sign from God that Jonah's to go to Nineveh and preach, he tries to bury his head in the sand further by doing something that I find myself doing a lot at times, which is trying to escape his problems by sleeping. You know, he's probably thinking something along the lines of, yeah, there's this big storm here, but maybe if I just take a nap, maybe when I wake up, everything will be better. It's kind of like when you're young and you've gone out somewhere for dinner and then you're in the car ride home and you're about to go home and you're too lazy to walk from the car to the house, so you pretend you're asleep and your parents try to wake you up and say, "Brendan, Brendan," and then you keep your eyes closed and eventually they give up and they have to carry you from the car to the house, right? Maybe Jonah's thinking something similar. He's thinking, maybe if I just go to sleep, by the time I wake up, everything will be all sweet. But unfortunately, Jonah finds that that's not the way God works. Sleeping is not going to make your problems or make God go away. This time, when Jonah falls asleep, as if the storm wasn't an obvious enough sign for Jonah already, God uses the sailors, and he uses the sailors to come and confront Jonah. So this is God calling Jonah back. He's tried to run away by sleeping or falling asleep, and God uses the sailors to try and come call him back. Reading verse 6 to 8 now. It reads, "The captain went to him and said, 'How can you sleep? Get up and call your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so we will not perish.' Then the sailors said to each other, 'Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity.' They cast lots and the lot falls on Jonah. So they ask him, 'Tell us, who is responsible for making this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?' Now, I think if you were Jonah, you'd think you'd get the message by now, right? There's this big storm happening, you know, God calls you and you're running away and the big storm comes, you're like, okay. And then you try to avoid it while sleeping and the sailors come and wake you up and they're frantic and they're freaking out and they're asking you questions. You'd think by now that Jonah would have gotten the message that God really wants him to go to Nineveh. Just like my dad coming into my room or my mum coming into my room on Saturday and telling me that I need to clean up my room. And even though I can look around in my room and see that, you know, my whole wardrobe's scattered along the floor somewhere and there's probably like little mice running around their homes, even though the signs are obvious for me, you'd think that he'd know that there's something that needs to be done that cannot be ignored. And we have the same thing in Jonah. All the signs around him are obvious. They're pointing him to one thing that he needs to go and they cannot be ignored any longer. In the next couple of verses, our story reaches a climax. I'll continue reading from verse 9. He answered, "I am a Hebrew and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." And if you're anything like me, when I was reading the passage, I'm thinking, yeah, right. This guy, Jonah, he's saying all the right things. Yeah, I worship God, but he's the one that's running away. Verse 10 to 12, he terrified them and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher. So they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us? Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." So at this stage, through the whole story, we're seeing Jonah try and run away. It's almost like he's oblivious to what's happening around him. But finally, the penny drops for both the sailors and for Jonah. They both know what has to be done. For the sailors, they know that if they want to survive, they have to throw Jonah overboard. For Jonah, he finally knows, or maybe he knew all along, but now he's actually recognized it, that it's because of God that this storm has come upon them and all this is happening, and that he should turn back and go back to Nineveh. But in this last-ditch, desperate effort to be the captain of his own life, Jonah decides that he would pretty much rather go down in the storm than to listen to God's call. Maybe death is the only thing that will let me escape God, is probably what he's thinking. So he tells the sailors, the only way for you guys to settle the storm is for you to throw me overboard. It's powerful, isn't it? Jonah would rather drown, he would rather die, than to listen to God. And he thinks, maybe death is the last thing that I'll be able to hide behind God from. Maybe death is the only thing that will hide me from God's call. In the final verses of our passage today, we see the sailors and we see Jonah, and we see two different responses to the same situation, really. In verse 13, we see the sailors. It's almost comical. They still try to row back. They still try to row back, even though they know that it's God that sent this storm, and they still try to row back. But as we've seen all throughout the passage today, God continues to direct the show. Even though the actions of Jonah and the sailors, they try to take control of their own ship, we see that God is really the one that's directing the show today. The sailors try to row back, but God makes the storm wilder and wilder, which we can see in verse 11, so they can't. However, in the next couple of verses, this is where we see the real difference between Jonah and the sailors. In the next couple of verses, we turn and see the sailors do something that we haven't seen for the whole chapter. We see the sailors actually break that pattern. So far through the chapter, we've had God calling, running away, and God calling back. But this time, in verses 13 to 16, we see the sailors do something that's been missing this whole chapter. And that's to turn and actually obey God. Verse 13, instead the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. It's really powerful what the sailors are saying here, friends. Don't miss what they're trying to say here. Even though they've tried to row back to land, eventually they realize that God's in control. God's sovereign, and he's in control of the situation. And they finally realize here that it's not about them. No matter what they do, God's the one that's directing the show. And this is in contrast. We get this picture of obedience from the sailors. And this is in contrast to Jonah, who even in the face of death, he would rather die, even in the face of death, he still continues to run from God, further and further and further away. Now, the next verse isn't in our passage today, but I think it's important. In verse 17, the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. In verse 17, we see that it's really important because God proves that not even Jonah trying to drown himself, not even death, can let him escape God's plans for him. And he sends a huge fish to swallow up Jonah, and he's in the fish for 3 days and for three nights. So for today's sermon, I want to leave you guys with a question. I want to ask you guys a question today. Are you trying to run away from something today? In the chapter, the passage that we just read, we see Jonah and we see the sailors try to run away from God multiple times. You know, Jonah tries to run away, he gets on the ship, he tries to go down to the bottom and tries to sleep to run away, and he eventually tries to kill himself, basically. He'd rather drown than to listen to God. And for the sailors, we see when the storm comes initially, they try and throw some cargo off the ship. Hopefully, if we line up the ship, we'll be able to go back and run away. Eventually, they try to row back, but still, No matter how many times they've tried to run, no matter how many different things that they've tried, God's sovereignty trumps anything that they could ever try and hide behind. And that's the same for us. No matter how many times we try to run, no matter how many different things we try to hide behind, God's sovereignty trumps anything that we could ever try and run away from or hide behind. Now, in this passage, God's call is quite clear to Jonah, isn't it? It's clear as day. Verse 2, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it. I think if you're anything like me when I was reading this passage, you know, you might be sitting here and you might be thinking, I wish God would just call me. I wish God would call me very clearly and do something. Maybe if he would just call me, I would go up and do it. Or, you know, you might be thinking, oh, I wish God was a bit more clear. I can't really hear God. I'm not too sure what he's trying to call me to do. Some of you guys might be facing big decisions or big questions in your life. Things like, am I doing the right job? Is this where God wants me to be? Am I studying the right degree? Or maybe am I marrying the right person? And you may feel as though God isn't calling you directly or clearly. But friends, I'm here to tell you today that God calls your whole life to him. Each of the decisions that we make are decisions to either run away further from God or to turn the ship around and come back and listen to his call. There can be small decisions that we make, things like being the only one in class that wants to listen to the teacher. When all your friends or all the other classmates are mucking around, it's the last period in school and you just want to muck around and go home. It can be like small decisions like that. It could be something like being respectful to your bosses, not being lazy at work, not doing the bare minimum and just bludging for the rest of the day, even though you know you can get away with it. Or it can be something as simple as deciding to put down the controller and to open up the Bible and prepare a sermon. Every decision that we make, no matter how small or how big, is a chance to either run further away from God or to listen to his call. Brothers and sisters at 5C today, are we running from God?